Name's up there. Wow, okay. there's a lot of people here. And thank you all for coming, obviously. I really appreciate it, all the support. I'm a junior in high school. I'm 16. And kind of where my story started was basically my whole life, I was being taught the Bible. I was being ministered to, being fed, and building my relationship with Christ. But there wasn't ever in my life a point where God kind of grabbed me and told me, hey, I want to be yours. I want you to submit to me. And I never felt like you hear in other people's stories. Something happens tragically, and something that God does turns them around, and there's a radical change. No, there wasn't anything like that. It was actually just me constantly being fed, but I never had this radical change. And I've been looking for that because I've almost kind of been jealous of the people that have been really close to God in some way. And I've wanted that experience. And I've been searching for that recently in the past about year or so. And I started going to Biltmore Baptist. I've been privileged to be the keyboardist there for the youth, and also a worship leader, along with about 8 other people. But I'm just looking around, trying to find where I can find that glory and see God and be near him, because I wanted that experience. Recently, about 3 weeks ago, we were singing a song called Set a Fire, and the lyrics are simply, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and that I can't control. I want to be near you. I want to know you. And we sang that song, just those lyrics, over and over for about 10 minutes. And the whole room full of the 200 youth just filled with God. And that was the closest I've ever felt God in my life. It was a very powerful time. And everyone was at peace. And everyone just knew that God was in the room. That was one of the best nights of my life, I would have to say, because I finally found what I've been looking for the past 16 years. And it makes me think it's a difficult change in church because obviously it's a Baptist church. It's not what I'm used to. I've been raised Presbyterian my whole life. But I feel like other people have that same struggle finding that church. And the reason that I'm telling you this is because the body of Christ isn't just Presbyterian. It's not just Baptist. The body of Christ is huge, and we need to go look for that wherever he's calling us to. Like I said, I'm a worship leader there. I've been given all these opportunities at the church, and I feel like God is opening doors for me. But just keep in mind that where God is calling you, it doesn't have to be where your friends are. It needs to be where God is filtering into you and filling your heart and letting him know you, know him better through whatever church you're at. So I just want to let you know that if you guys haven't seen me the past few months, I haven't left you guys. I'm just I'm trying to experience different churches. So thank you so much.
My name is Caleb Wells, and I have a cold, so if you hear me coughing, that's why. But my story of grace starts probably back in December of 2016 when my brother complained about this little pain in his rib that it wasn't like enough to where we needed to immediately go somewhere, but it was just kind of there. And at first, we thought it was a broken rib, and so probably about the same time, a couple weeks later, we went to a doctor and had like an x-ray, and they said nothing was broken, so we just kind of let it be, and maybe we thought it was going to go away. And earlier this year, my dad asked me if I wanted to go to Israel, And I thought, that's like, it's a new country. It's going to be different. I'm going to miss school. But it gave me a chance to get closer with God, because through all these years, I'd accepted God. I had like known who he was and what he's done, but I haven't really gotten closer to him. Like, my life hadn't really changed. And so I thought, yeah, this is going to be a great experience for me to get closer to God. On a Friday, me and my dad left on a long plane ride to Israel. And during that week, my brother was getting tests done, because at that point he had a little bulge on his rib and the pain was starting to get a little bit bigger, and we were kind of worried. And when we got to Israel, we saw like a lot of awesome places, and I got to listen to what God did for everyone, just like Nazareth and all the places that that he's been. And on Wednesday of that week, we got a phone call at about 9 at night saying that my brother, Austin, had a aggressive form of cancer. And at that point, me and my dad, we were crying, we were calling out to God, we were just asking him for healing, asking him for just hope that he will like be okay, because from me at school, like from all the things we hear about cancer, how it can kill people, how it can do all these terrible things, it just scared me. And I just know I need to put my hope in God at that point. And so at about 12 at night, we got a taxi to Tel Aviv to get on a plane ride home. And during that plane ride, I had my Bible with me that I got for Christmas, and I just opened it up and asked God to just like speak to me in some way and just tell me, like give me hope. And I opened up to Proverbs 3, verse 5, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And when I read this, I realized that I can't do anything on my own, that I have to do everything that I do through God, and that I have to do it with him and through him, and that he is my savior. And through the plane ride, I had told some of my friends to like start praying for him. And one of my friends, he was at church, and he got his whole congregation to pray for Austin. And it just baffled me that even though like none of them knew him, they were praying for him. And it just humbled me that God works in ways that no one can really see. And when we got back to North Carolina, to my home, my mom was an emotional mess. My brother was like, he was just normal, like nothing had really happened to him. And me and my dad, of course, were worried. And through further tests, they found out it was a rare type of cancer, LCS. I'm not sure what that stands for, but it's a type of cancer. And we found out that all they had to do was surgery. And after that, I just, every night, I pray, I read the Bible, I do something. And it's just, I just think it's awesome that God has found me. I was lost, and now I am found. And I want to live my life in God. So that's my story.
So I don't normally do this kind of thing. I was volunteered by my mom, and when she told me, I was like, no, I'm not doing that, because my comfort zone is usually sitting in my room listening to the Phantom of the Opera or any other Broadway show. But God decided, with the help of my mom, to put me up here and tell my testimony. So here it goes. A verse that has been a really big part of my life is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And he definitely gave me a future. My story starts at Christmas time in 1999. My mom and dad were expecting their first child in April, but that didn't happen. My mom had a sickness called preeclampsia. Which means that her body was shutting down due to me. So they had to go in and do a C-section to save both me and my mom from dying. At this point, I was 24 and a half weeks in the development process, and my lungs and other parts of my body had not finished developing. So with my lungs, they had to get bigger and stronger. And I wasn't able to breathe at birth, so they bagged me, which means that they put a tube down my throat and inflated my lungs with a balloon type thing. I was also wrapped in saran wrap to keep my body heat from dropping too quickly. And they also put me in what would be my new home, and it was called an isolate. I would have a Tigger with me, but we couldn't find him at the house. But he was about 12 inches long, and he stayed with me in my isolette, and we were basically twins because we were the same size. My arms and legs were longer, but my body was the same. In the time that I was in the NICU, I had many doctors and nurses that took care of me and checked my vital signs, like how much blood was in my oxygen, and a lot of other things. And one thing that I'm pretty sure annoyed them was the fact that I love to sleep on my stomach. And since I had a lot of like different tubes in my stomach, that wasn't the best thing. So they had to come in and turn me every 4 hours. And while they did this, they checked all of my different vitals and all of that. To feed me, I had an IV down my esophagus so that I could grow. Now onto diapers. This is an example of a premature diaper. And they had to fold it because it didn't fit me. So this is how tiny the diaper was. At 10 days old, I had heart surgery. I had a valve in my heart that normally would close when a baby is born, but mine didn't. Apparently this is very common in preemies, but they had to go in and close it. And because of this, my lung collapsed, which left me with asthma. At 4 weeks old, I had a brain bleed. And they watched it closely, and it started to go away. But the scar tissue left me with a lot of problems that you might not be able to see. But this affected the left side of my brain, which in turn affected the right side of my body. So I learned how to be left-handed, like right left-handed. One area of my brain that the brain bleed affected was my muscle tone. My muscles are very tight. I have a very hard time relaxing. And a problem that occurred from this was that I walked on my tiptoes. I walked like a ballerina. And this looked cute on the outside, but on the inside, it caused a lot of problems. Like, I was in ballet, and I couldn't do a plié. So they went in, and they did heel cord extension surgery to stretch out my muscles and to make it so that I could walk flat-footed, which I am very thankful for. But due to this, I had 2 casts put on both legs, and I had to be in a wheelchair. And at school, that was kind of hard because there were some kids who thought that it would be a good time to make fun of me. But you know, God's there, and it's okay. It all turned out okay. So Eventually from that, I moved on to a walker and I had to learn how to walk again. And learning how to walk again was made kind of difficult because I have CP, more known as cerebral palsy, which is why I walk with a limp. It might not be that noticeable, but so when I was learning how to walk again, it took a very long time. But one moment that changed my life, basically, was when I was at the physical therapist's office and we were walking upstairs. And for a long time, my mom and the therapist had been holding my hands. But once I got to the top of the stairs, I was like, you know, I'm gonna try and walk by myself. And so I took my first step down the stairs. And it was just a really emotional time for everyone because I hadn't done that in a while. But it took a long time for me to learn how to walk again, besides that. So with all of that to say, God kept me alive for a reason, and it took me a while to figure out that reason, but he promised me that he created me just the way that he wants me to be. So the reason I don't talk that loud is because the IV that was down my throat for so long messed up my vocal cords and just made everything really strange. And that's another thing that people might hear me or they might look at me and they might hear me talk and they're like, you know, are you okay? I get that question a lot. And I just tell them that, yeah, I'm fine. It's just the way that I talk. God created everyone here with a special story. And you all have amazing backgrounds that are very unique, and they all have some part of God in them. I want to end with the verse that I started with, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Thank you.